Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming on a Saturday morning. This meeting of House Special Committee on Fisheries will come to order. The time is 10:04 on Saturday, April 7th. Members present are Representative Newman, Representative Christ Tompkins, Representative Eastman, Representative Edgemond, and myself, Chair Stutes. We have a quorum. I want to remind you to please silence your cell phones, and we are allowing the use of electronic devices during the meeting. We're asking that staff and members of the audience not approach the table. If you need to pass a note to committee members, please get the attention of my committee aide, Matt Greening, and he would be happy to take care of it for you. I'd like to thank Brian Glynn, the Fisheries Committee Secretary, and Eileen Keim from the Juno LIO for tech and teleconferencing support. I really do appreciate all you coming on a Saturday morning, like I said earlier, and we are going to be taking public testimony today on House Bill 199. I'm asking that testifiers, I'm going to start out with 3 minutes and see how we do on the number of people, and if I see that we're getting a big backlog of people, I will reduce the testifying time to 2 minutes. And with that, I will open up public testimony, and I'm going to start with my own hometown, with Kodiak LIO, and online we have Claudia Anderson. And Claudia, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Louise. My name is Claudia Anderson, and I am testifying for myself and my family. I support House Bill 199. Alaskans are so lucky to have the advantage to see what has happened to salmon in Norway, in the British Isles, in Oregon, in Washington, and creeping up through Canada. We can't control all of our salmon watersheds, for example, the problems in Southeast right now. We need to control what we can. We need to set a standard by which to hold ourselves accountable. Salmon is huge economically in this state. You all know that. You all probably still have salmon in your freezers right now. This bill might not be perfect, but it's something. It's a starting place. I support Bill 199.
Thank you, Claudia. Next, we will go to Pat Holmes in Kodiak. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Pat Holmes, and my affiliation, I guess, is an Alaskan since statehood, and I really appreciate you updating the habitat things. I remember before we had the law, things were truly a mess, and I believe that it's been long overdue to update the regulations, and I think back to when the Habitat Division was shifted out of Fish and Game to DNR, and it's my guess that probably 40% of the staff left or went to different agencies, and I don't think it's ever been really rebuilt to the point of even handling the habitat regulations that were in existence before this bill. And I think the concept of because of all those reductions, and I think the reductions that have come in the last few years, the Fish and Game, particularly commercial fisheries and habitat, probably operationally down 30% in con fish and probably more in habitat division. So I think the user pay on this and the bonding, I think that is an incredible step forward. And some of the other language, I'm sorry, Louise, I'm getting old, and it's like reading an environmental impact statement, but having gone through the summary of changes, I think that you're on the right track, and so I heartily support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Christina Edwin in Fairbanks. Christina, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
I'm Christina Edwin, and I'm a tribal citizen of the village of Pike.
Christina, we're having a difficult time hearing you. I don't know if you're on a cell phone. If you could get to a handset, that would help, or if you'd speak directly into the phone.
Can you hear me now?
That's better. Thank you.
Okay. Hi. Good morning. I'm Christina Edwin, and I'm a citizen of the tribe of Kaikuk, Alaska. And I just wanted to say I'm not really sure what all the changes are in the bill, but I would like to give voice to tribal consultation and indigenous consultation with peoples who are indigenous of the state. We've been sustaining off of salmon runs for thousands of years, and we have seen in the past in the state's history that large entities, for whatever reason, whether it's research institutions or government or other large research with that regards building on the land, that there has been no prior and informed consent. And so I think that this law is a really good way to engage citizens, whether they're native or not, across Alaska, and agencies to be involved with the process for any large-scale mining or logging interests. And so I think that this kind of law would be great to get more people involved, and we need people involved across agencies and across entities. And we need spaces where we have more than 3 minutes to give our testimony for people who've lived on these renewable resources for their whole lives and beyond generations. So, Anabasi, thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Alyssa Quintine from Fairbanks. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Excellent, thank you. My name is Alyssa Clinton. I am from Fairbanks, Alaska, District 1, and I am calling her in support of this bill. I just want to take a moment to represent the Chutes and the Fisheries Commission or Committee letting us testify. We really appreciate it. Just going to keep it pretty short here. I feel that this is a very good step, a good step in the direction we need to protect our waterways, protect our salmon, and to protect those communities that live off of them, and that's a lot of us. I feel the biggest part for me that I really want to bring attention to is that it allows communities to have a voice in the projects and development that's going on in their communities, where in the past they haven't had that opportunity, and this bill does exactly that. I think our representatives and legislators owe it to constituents to not only protect their resources, but to engage their constituents and give them a voice in anything that's going to impact their livelihoods and their jobs. So I really just want to thank you guys for really putting in the effort, and we hope to see more from this and hope to see this being pushed forward, and I hope that you guys really support this effort. Yes, thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to the Sitka LIO, and we have Pete Roddy. Pete, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yeah, good morning. My name is Pete Roddy, speaking for myself. I'm supporting the ballot initiative and appreciate your work on trying to come up with legislative language which reflects the intent. I'm just worried that you may have changed some busts to maize or shells. One particular concern of mine is that there's no requirement that waterways be proven not to be anadromous. My experience 40 years ago surveying logging roads here in the Southeast is that we would discover an uncatalogued anadromous stream, make note in our survey notes, and return to find a road with a fish barrier culverts installed. And if this act only protects waters listed in the state's atlas of anadromous waters, it's totally inadequate. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Oh, yes. Would you, if you have a question, excuse me, Mr. Roddy, we have a question for you from Representative Tarr, who joined us, and I neglected to mention that.
Thank you, and I apologize for being a few minutes late. Mr. Roddy, I was just interested, it sounds like you said you worked in forestry, and so you weren't, you know, a Department of Fish and Game employee who would have been otherwise tasked with cataloging waters for the anadromous catalog, but you're saying you had survey notes that were passed along and not incorporated then into that, and so you would later go back and see that a fish barrier culvert had been consistent with what had happened because you had shared the notes?
No, I believe the way the law was written at the time, that since the water in question was not listed in the atlas, there was no requirement for the Forest Service or its contractor in this instance to provide a fish passage. And I believe that if someone is going to develop, build, that it's incumbent on that developer to prove that the waters, which may be blocked or impounded, are not anadromous fish waters. Okay. Whether they are in the catalog as of today, certainly about half the waters really are.
Thank you.
Thank you. And members of the committee, if you have questions for any of the testifiers, just try and get my attention, and I'll try and keep my eyes open. Next, we have Spencer Severson, and I'm going to ask you to keep your testimony to 2 minutes from this point forward for testifiers, as we're getting quite a backlog. So, Mr. Severson, if you would state your name and affiliation for the record, please, and begin your testimony.
This is Spencer Severson. I've been a commercial fisherman in Southeast Alaska for 35 years, and I really do appreciate Hospital 199. I think you guys are trying to do a good job. I think it falls pretty far short at this point of what it needs to do to protect all of the fish and to put the burden on industry if they want to develop. I feel like the mining and development are very important to Southeast Alaska as well. But if anybody wants to make any move that's going to affect ancient species that are moving into that we depend on, especially here in Sitka, we depend on them for tourism and for fishing, we need to protect them primarily. So I just wanted to encourage you and thank you for your work on the bill.
Thank you for your testimony. And next we will go to Keith, and Keith, I'm not going to try your last name, so if you'd say it for us and your affiliation and begin your testimony.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Keith Nitre, and I'm representing myself. I've lived in Alaska for almost 40 years now, and during that time I was a commercial fisherman for several years, and the health of our fisheries are very important to me. I mean, that said, I support HB 99, even though I believe it could be improved. I would like to thank Representative Stutz and Fisheries Committee for working to protect our salmon, especially for future generations. But to begin with, I'm extremely worried about the impacts of mining on our fisheries. I mean, time and time again, we've seen across almost every state in the United States and every country in the world where the mining industry has reaped the resources, devastated the land, despite assurances that they would never do so, then declare bankruptcy only to leave the local, regional, and national governments to deal with and pay for the cleanup if and when even possible. I really believe it's time to stop privatizing the company's profits and socializing the risks associated with mining. A legislator's job is to represent and do what's best for Alaskans, not what's best for transnational corporations and their non-Alaskan shareholders. Our fisheries and fishery-related jobs in any one region are sustainable. Mining jobs, by their very nature, are not. Once the resource is extracted, it's gone forever. Coal seams don't spawn new ones, and zinc deposits don't beget baby zinclets. The choice before you is what future do you want, what future for Alaska do you want to promote and protect? Our fisheries, which are renewable and sustainable for generations to come, or something that is not? Again, I support HB 99, and I hope you will, too. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Peter Bradley out of Sitka. If you'd state your name and affiliation, please, and begin your testimony.
Hi, my name's Peter Bradley. I'm representing myself today. Thank you for your work preparing this bill and for working to protect salmon habitat. I think that this process and debate is largely about whether it's better to ask permission or beg forgiveness. When it comes to development in Alaska, we need to move past the beg forgiveness model. The bill has been watered down from previous iterations, and I ask you to revisit some of the stronger language around permitting, enforcement, and accountability. Thanks.
Thank you for your testimony. John Murray from Sitka.
Thank you, Ms. Dukes, I hope I get your name right, and the co-sponsors of this. I think there's some, I'm still learning about the bill. I think it's a good avenue for discussion for the state and important discussion, especially with the initiative coming up. Appreciate everybody getting it on the calendar here in the closing days of the session. I know you guys got a lot of work to do, and I appreciate you putting this on the front burner, and hopefully get something good passed. But I'm still in the learning process. This is John Murray, commercial fish out of Sitka, and I guess that's about all I got for now.
Thank you, Mr. Murray.
I think all the people from Sitka spending their Saturday morning testifying.
Sitka, that was your representative, Jonathan Christ Tompkins, thanking you. Okay, next we are going to go to OffNet, and we have first Frederick Olson of Ketchikan. If you would state your name and affiliation and begin your testimony, please.
Hello, thank you. Yes, this is Frederick Olson, Jr., and I'm the tribal president of the Organized Village of Kasan, and I'm the chair of the Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commission. And I thank the committee and the chair for this opportunity, and words really matter. And many of us, you know, born and raised, grew up in this state, and have heard the destructive language always used. We're called the natural resource extraction state, and some of us even wear that as a badge of honor, but that's another word for colony. And it's time that we stop treating our state like a colony, and we have citizens' rights, and please stop making excuses for temporary companies that make permanent damage to our way of life. Please stop having them bend the truth. It's not okay to overlook and take nature for granted anymore. The false balance of temporary jobs for outsiders versus our whole world is not going to work. Laws matter. Alaska mining laws are way outdated. Look around, folks. We're working to prevent major mining disasters, but we're already experiencing the death by a thousand cuts. Wild animals are going away. Forests are cut down. You have your salmon derby ticket yet? Oh, yeah. You know, we used to talk about how small the derby winners were getting. Now they're not going to be salmon derbies. And yet we keep our head in the sand at the ostrich, but the ostrich policy will no longer prove sustainable. We need responsible development. 57 years ago, humans for the first time flew out of the atmosphere and looked back and saw the Earth, so small in a dark void. The astronauts all know the specialness of our planet, the only one around us where we can live. You know how careful astronauts are inside their spacecraft? They don't have campfires in the hallway, even though they might do it safely. We need to be vigilant on our own spaceship, the planet Earth. Please support House Bill 199. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Olson. Next, we will go to Bryce Niver in Anchorage. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony, please.
I'm Bryce Niver. I'm testifying for myself, and I'm testifying in support of this House bill. I strongly urge for stronger language in terms of the protection of salmon-producing waters. I believe this is a step in the right direction. As a fisherman my entire life, I have sustained and I have benefited from our state's natural resources, and I plan wholeheartedly to continue my tradition with my family and allow my kids to fish and mining, and not protecting our waterways would not allow that. So I testify in support of this House bill.
Thank you for your testimony. Next we have Ricky Geese from the Kenai Peninsula. If you'd state your name and affiliation, please, and begin your testimony.
Hi, this is Ricky Geese. I'm from the Kenai Peninsula. I'm testifying on behalf of myself. One thing is, the bill is on fish habitat, And it's interesting to me, we have statewide issues with king salmon. And the Department of Alaska Fish and Game indicates that it's not a freshwater habitat issue with the decline across the state for king salmon. It's in the marine environment. I was disappointed to figure that when both legislature and the governor okayed removing $15 million from the budget.
Mr. Gase, we'd like you to confine your testimony to House Bill 199, please.
Okay, so the issue is, do we want to make changes? Some of the changes that are being pulled in are from the Sustainable Salmon Policy, which are currently in regulation and not in statute. And we're just culling from regulations that deal with fish habitat, and we're not bringing in any of the fishery regulations into statute. And both on the fish habitat problems and on the regulations on sustainable salmon policy, I don't think the Department of Fish and Game has been in support of FAST or other youth groups have been in support of putting the sustainable salmon policy regulations into statute. The one last thing I'd like to say is that I don't think this deals adequately with culverts, and I think the number one thing for fish habitat protections that the state could do is to make culvert regulation so that they have to do the bank full width and not just the average flow. That's something that we've done in the Kenai Peninsula. It's been proven really effective, and I don't see it as a good approach. Thanks.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Geese. Next, we have Diana Garfield out of Seattle. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please, and begin your testimony.
Good morning. My name is Diana Garfield. I'm calling from Seattle. I'm a resident and voter in Ketchikan, Alaska. I'm testifying for my husband, myself, and our small business, Seabright Seafood. We get our commercial salmon trawlers out of Ketchikan, and our entire marketing strategy is based on direct marketing about top quality, well-reputed, sustainable salmon that comes from Alaska's pristine waters. I grew up in New England, where I watched the fishing industry collapse around me, and was really excited to move to Alaska, start a business there, and be part of something that has a reputation for being so well-managed. It seems like the flip side to a well-managed marine fishery is well-managed regulations that protect the ability of that species to breed. We support both the House Bill and the Stand for Salmon Initiative, in whichever form puts the tightest regulation in place to protect the breeding habitats of this renewable resource. We believe it's critical to our small business, to the livelihoods of many of our community members, and it's also just such an incredible industry that keeps replenishing itself when well managed. So having the strongest sort of regulation to protect the breeding grounds for these species and to have a kill switch in place to prevent disastrous industries from coming in and wiping out something that can sustain us for generations is absolutely critical, and that's what we're here to support.
Thank you for your testimony. next we have Alexis Quacha from Kodiak. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Good morning, Representative Stutes and the Fisheries Committee. My name is Alexis Quacha. I'm representing myself. There's been some fantastic testimony. I agree with just about everything I've heard. I wholeheartedly support this. I don't think it goes far enough. HB 199 is a step in the right direction. We need to lead our sustainable fisheries into the future. The rearview mirror is full of tragedy. You can start in Europe and work your way across the eastern seaboard and up the Pacific Northwest. We're the last one standing, and we have got to get this right. Please continue the work and put more teeth back into the bill. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Jill Schaefer in Soldotna. State your name and affiliation for the record, please, and begin your testimony.
Good morning. Thanks for taking public testimony this beautiful morning. I'm sitting here at my house watching the beautiful Kenai River. So I probably have a better view than you guys. I represent myself and my husband. We're small business owners. We own a lodge here on the Kenai River. And we strongly oppose House Bill 199. As the First Lady who was testifying said, this bill is not perfect, and she is right. It's a highly flawed bill. Fish habitat is already protected, and there are already screening processes in effect. And if they don't work, I would like to know which ones exactly you are talking about that aren't working, that need to be changed, and examples of them not working where there's been a negative effect, which I have not heard one example of. The burden of this bill doesn't fall on just, you know, big industries and companies. It falls on everyday Alaskans. From, you know, local to federal, there's already tons of permitting processes and restrictions on what we can do with, you know, salmon habitat or spawning areas. So, again, I just guess I want to know examples of what you think is failing so badly that this bill is necessary. And the third, probably biggest point of this call is this bill grows government in a time when you guys can't even fund the size of government we have. So until we have a budget that does not include, you know, taking the PFD or new...
We'd like you to confine your comments to House Bill 199, please.
199 grows government. If we can't fund the size of government now, why should you grow it?
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Maureen Knudsen from NACNIC. If you'd state your name and affiliation and begin your testimony, please.
Yes, I'm Maureen Knudsen from NACNIC, and I'm representing myself and my husband, who I have been subsistence and commercial fishing with since I moved here in 1975. And I just want to thank you for sponsoring this bill, Representative Stutz, and I want to give a little shout-out to Bryce Edgman, our great representative from across the bay, and voice my support for HB 199. And like some of the people have said, it's probably not perfect, but it's better than what we have. And I feel that habitat protection is like the most important thing to keep our salmon runs healthy and strong, especially when we look at something like the pebble mine, which I remember testifying to the fisheries committee at the school auditorium here in NACNIC about maybe 10 years ago on this pebble mine issue, and it's taken this long to, you know, get some kind of action. And I appreciate the work that you guys are doing in HB 199, even though it's not perfect. Habitat protection is the highest priority to me as the University of Washington fisheries guys have said, and we found in the first round of, like, you know, the pebble mine issue, there's a lot more little streams up there in the headwaters of the NACNIC-Quijac where the pebble deposit is that have fish in them that weren't documented before. And every little stream that has salmon in it is part of what makes Bristol Bay and our salmon run what it is, and it all needs to be protected.
Thank you, and thank you for your testimony. And your representative, Representative Edgman, is here, and he received your shout-out.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity.
You bet. Next, we will go to Kristen Collins from Anchorage. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you. This is Kristen Collins. I live in Anchorage. I first want to say thank you to Representative Stutz for your leadership on this topic. I, like many people testifying today, salmon is a big part of my diet. I eat salmon twice a week. I have salmon in my lunch right now. Salmon in my freezer and salmon in my refrigerator. Ready to cook for my next meal. I support House Bill 199. I support the version that was introduced in January of 2017. I think it was a really strong piece of legislation that we need moving forward. I want to touch on testimony that Joe from Slavatna just said that we have fine management already. I respectfully disagree. I think that we're seeing fishing runs decline across the state. I don't want us to be looking back on this moment, not having taken this action and not having strengthened our habitat protection laws and knowing that we could have made a difference. So I support House Bill 99 and urge as well for you to thank.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Gayla Hoseth from Dillingham. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony, please. Gayla?
Ms. Hoseth.
Hoseth. Thank you. We'll go back to her. How about Thomas Emerson in Juneau? If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony. Okay, how about Laura?
Excuse me. Representative Stutes.
I'm sorry, who is this?
This is Gayla. This is Gayla Hoseth. My mute button was on.
Oh, okay, no problem. If you would state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Okay, thank you. My name is Gayla Hoseth, and I'm representing myself, and I wanted to thank you, Representative Louise Stutes, for your work on protecting salmon habitat, and thanks to all the committee members working on this as well. As you know, salmon needs to be protected, and it's a six-year-old law that needs to be updated. It's very important that we have a public process that have voices heard on this issue. Our salmon needs protection, and our people throughout Alaska live off salmon and share throughout the world. It's important to make sure we have protections for our resources for responsible development. We need clean water. We must protect our waters for our future generations. And I strongly support the Salmon Habitat Ballot Initiative language for updating this law. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We will now go to Laura Mastrella in Haines. Laura, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Yeah, this is Laura Mastrella in Haines, and I'm representing myself and my family. And I want to thank you, Representative Stutes and Fisheries Committee, for working on salmon habitat protection. I've been a commercial salmon troller in Southeast for 27 years, and my partner and I have raised five kids. Commercial fishing, two of them have already made significant investment in trolling as their chosen career. My family's both are tied to the dock right now due to the sea salmon closure, which we support, but it's painful. And I support the Stanford Salmon Initiative and HB199, whichever offers stronger protection for salmon habitat. I feel habitat protection protects my job and protects my kids' jobs. Here in the Chilkat Valley, we have both large-scale industrial mining and logging kind of looming over our five species salmon rivers, and I feel threatened by that. And I feel, you know, salmon habitat needs to be prioritized. Their existing jobs, they're long-standing, they're long-term, they're local, and by their nature, industrial mining and logging are temporary. They come from outside, and those jobs don't even exist yet. So I understand HB199 is a work in progress, asking for the strongest possible habitat protection for salmon streams, and thanks for taking my testimony and for working on this issue.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Megan Gervais in Homer. Megan, I probably didn't get your last name correctly, but if you'd state it for the record and your affiliation and begin your testimony, please.
Okay, thank you. This is Megan Gervais. I'm representing myself, my husband Tim Gervais, and my children, August, Ruby, and Margaret. We're all salmon fishermen. And we commercial station Bristol Bay. We also do personal use subsistence and sport fishing. So salmon are totally critical for both our living and our sustenance throughout the year. And it's part of our culture. It's our heart and our soul, and I just wanted to call in to support just the strongest protections possible for salmon habitat. We're all terrified by the prospect of a pebble mine, and that process is right now being fast-tracked through that Army Corps process, and whatever the state can do to protect our jobs, I'm just all for it. So
Thank you for your call. Next we have Rochelle Harrison in King Salmon. Rochelle, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Hi, this is Rochelle. I represent myself and my family.
Rochelle, we're having a difficult time hearing you. If you could maybe either get closer to your phone or use a phone with a handset, we'd appreciate it.
Okay, I think I had a speaker phone. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Okay, yes, I live east of King Salmon, and I'm representing myself and my family. We run a camp where we take sport fishermen. We've been doing it for 35 years, and this bill is very important to us. I appreciate Representative Stutes moving this bill, and I do think it needs to put the teeth back into it. Because it's been watered down, we can down too much. I think some of the things that are really important are we need to have Alaskans be able to have a voice for the permitting process in the whole state, and we need to have strong enforceable standards to protect our fish habitat and guide responsible development practices. We need to count real accountability, create real accountability to ensure that our vital in the habitat is not sacrificed when large projects are developed. We relied on the fishery and natural habitat for our livelihood for all the years we've lived in Alaska, and I think this is a sustainable type of lifestyle, and the other irresponsible developments are not, such as mining. And so I am supporting a bill 199, and I'm grateful that you guys are getting it out there. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next, we have Carol Ford in Homer. Carol, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Thank you. I'm Carol Ford. I'm speaking for myself and my family, especially my dear granddaughter, who's just starting to be able to see what's around her and appreciate it in the way that I hope she always can. I thank you all for working on HB 199, and I hope that before it does pass, that it will become even stronger. I'm encouraged that we're looking at this way to now in 2018 to look and decide who Alaska is and who we want to be in the future. And what I hope we decide and continue to decide is that we want to be what they thought and knew we were back when they didn't put teeth in this thing, when they knew that we were a fishing state, when they knew that we were the place where the wild salmon to renew themselves and renew the rest of the world. And we thought that was self-evident. Now we need these stronger worded things because we've forgotten that or we've gotten something else here that's wanting to set off the balance and make it go a different way. And I hope you'll strengthen this 199. I know you'll pass it because we're all Alaskans. And I hope that we'll continue to look at ourselves the way they knew we were back when they didn't think we needed to state it so strongly because we had people trying to come in and wreck it all for us. So thank you again for doing this. I hope you'll strengthen what you've already started and make it so there's a true balance. When people need to do something that's going to disrupt, that they need to do it in a way that does not affect the salmon and the rest of us.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Next, we will go to Georgiana Haverly in Kenai. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
My name is Georgiana Haverly, and I represent myself. I'm a born and raised Alaskan, having grown up in the community of Nikiski. I am a University of Alaska Fairbanks graduate and a commercial drift gill netter in Cook Inlet. I support House Bill 199. I believe the current state law for permitting development projects in fish and wildlife habitat needs to be updated to ensure both responsible resource development and protection of our salmon for future generations. I believe that Alaskans deserve a stronger voice in the permitting process. As a fisher poet, I would like to close my testimony with an excerpt from my poem titled Our Alaskan Responsibility. We all call this state home, people and salmon alike, and I just have to say that when we do things just right, our proud state thrives and is the joy of the nation, because everyone recognizes the strongest foundation that Alaskans make up. We set the blue and gold standard. So let's not fail now, and please hear my words, because someday I'll have grandkids, and they'll have them too. I wish with all of my heart that they get to go through a strong fishing season on a clean powered vessel, and that fuel and those salmon are still just as special as they were when I lived in these critical days where we must do our part and not get in the way of protecting our salmon and thus our way of life and ensure we're responsible so sustainability is in sight. Thank you for your time and the opportunity to use my voice as an Alaskan.
Thank you for your testimony. Next we have Christine Hutchinson from Kenai. Christine, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Yes, my name is Christine Hutchinson. I am testifying on my own behalf and am from the Kenai, Alaska area here. I am opposed to this legislation for the simple reason that it's premature. We are on track. The state of Alaska, all the residents, not just the fishermen, all the residents are on track to vote on this in the fall or at some point when these initiatives get through the process. So to add additional burden, government burden of regulation and permitting in addition to what may or may not happen in the fall is premature. I don't understand why we want to continue to burden the whole economic environment now and then again when the entire population gets a chance to vote. I feel a little bit like a voice in the wilderness because there's no one opposed to this. Let's just bring it on as opposed to giving everyone a chance to speak on the initiative. And I can't see that the initiative's not going to make it. So I would encourage those on the committee there, do not pass on this, and I have already sent emails to some of the committee, but it's just premature. We're not in a position economically to support it. I don't know if there's fiscal notes on this, but we're not in a position to finance it if there is, and I think it's just premature. I understand it was submitted prior to the initiative being enacted, I believe, but there's no reason to go further on this until the initiative's acted out. Thank you for your efforts, though, and I know there's several that continue to promote government regulation. So thank you for your efforts.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Mako Hegarty at the Homer LIO. Mako, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Good morning to everyone there, and my name is Mako Hegarty. I represent myself. I'd like to thank Representative Stoops for sponsoring. Well, I think it's very important, although I think it needs to be stronger. Salmon touches everyone in this state directly and indirectly, and the best thing we can do for salmon and for ourselves is to protect salmon habitat. And I think everybody that's testified today understands that. Even the couple that are opposed to this bill understand how important habitat is for the salmon. And we don't have to look very far, as was mentioned by other people testifying this, and we don't have to look to see where failure to protect the habitat has caused great harm to the and destroyed salmon runs. We don't want that to happen here. And it's time for actions. I think this bill will take a step in that direction. Like I say, it needs stronger. And nobody knows the importance and the impact of local runs than the local residents. That's why it's very important that local residents have a place in the process during the permitting process. So it kind of fascinates me that that people may consider this growing of government. But really what it is it's giving a voice to residents of Alaska. And that is not growing government. That is actually giving power to the people of Alaska. It gives them power over transnational corporations. I'm fascinated by the fact that...
If you could wrap up your testimony, please.
Okay, I'm going to wrap it up right here. I'm fascinated that this bill could get weakened. Given all the testimony in favor of this bill, how does a bill like this get weakened? And that's my testimony, and thank you. Thank you for having this this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Conrad Chad in Homer. If you'd state your name and your affiliation for the record, please begin your testimony.
Yeah, good morning. My name is Conrad Shaw. I represent myself, my two sons, my wife. Before I moved here 38 years ago, I lived in Switzerland, and there we heard stories and saw pictures of mighty salmon caught in the Rhine River and its tributaries. They caught the last wild salmon swimming up the Rhine about 100 years ago. There used to be a viable commercial fishery from Holland all the way up to the Alps, but that is history because salmon had no protection. They had, they paved the land next to spawning grounds, they polluted the water, and they dammed the rivers. We're at a turning point here in Alaska. We still have the world's most productive salmon streams, but there are projects on the horizon that could make this part of the history here really quickly too. We need very strong language. I support HB 199, but I'd be in favor of stronger language. We need to give a voice to the people of Alaska to chime in. We need enforceable rules for the habitat protection. We need to give Alaska Department of Fish and Game authority. They need to protect the habitat. We need a two-tier permitting system, streamlined permits. Currently, it's the same application for a culvert or for a pebble mine. And we need to promote responsible development by requiring projects to minimize impact and not permits that will jeopardize our salmon streams. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Dylan Brond. Dylan, if you could state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Good morning. Thank you for your public service. My name is Dylan Braun. I'm a lifetime Alaskan fisherman. I'm testifying here on behalf of myself, and I'm here with my two fifth-generation Alaskan commercial fishing sons at the legislative office, giving them the civics lesson. I support House Bill 199. The impetus for statehood was the protection of salmon. Article 8, Section 4 of the Alaska Constitution prescribes that utilization of replenishable resources should be based on principles in yield. Fishermen are regulated in the ocean habitat according to exacting, stringent, science-based management codified by the Board of Fish and implemented by ADF&G on the principle of sustained yield. This approach has led to over 50 years of sustainable fisheries management and made Alaska a global model. Legislators are now being asked by the very same Board of Fisheries to apply this approach that has been implemented in the marine habitat to riparian habitat. How can we ensure sustained yield without riparian habitat protection? Per the Alaska Constitution, maximum use consistent with the public interest is the policy to be implemented by the legislature to provide for the utilization, development, and conservation of all natural resources belonging to the state for the maximum benefit of the people. conservation is the cornerstone of the state's maximum use policy. The constitutional delegates understood this term to include wise use. Salmon is the keystone species in the watershed ecosystem. Maximum use requires intact, fully functioning ecosystems. Salmon sustains the state, communities, families, jobs, and subsistence. Salmon is a binding thread that ties us together as Alaskans. Riparian habitat sustains salmon. Riparian habitat is sustained with science-based management standards, the purpose of House Bill 199. At a time when foreign-owned corporations have the tip of the spear into the heart of salmon country and have applied for permitting at the headwaters of the largest sockeye salmon fishery on planet Earth, is it not wise use to pass House Bill 199 and ensure habitat protection? Thank you for your service. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just want to mention for those online, we are trying to take them in order of your call-in time. So those that have been on hold for quite a while, we're getting close. Next, we're going to go to Petersburg, LIO, and we have Brian Lynch. If you could state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Yeah, good morning, Representative Students and members of the committee. My name is Brian Lynch, and I'm testifying for myself this morning. I'm a 39-year resident of Alaska and a 36-year resident of Petersburg, a community whose lifeblood is absolutely dependent upon healthy salmon resources. I'm also a retired biologist with Alaska Department of Fish and Game with over 30 years' experience in research and commercial fisheries management. I am before you this morning to testify in favor of HB 199. Early in my career, I ran a project on the Stikine River conducting both spawning and rearing habitat studies in anticipation of the construction of run-of-the-river hydro projects proposed by BC Hydro. Thankfully, they were never constructed. As such, I have intimate familiarity with both salmon rearing and salmon spawning requirements. During my career, I also served for 9 years on the Pacific Salmon Commission's Chinook Technical Committee. It was during my experience on the Chinook Technical Committee where I gained full understanding of the economic effects of habitat degradation. Make no mistake, the battles we have with Canada and the southern U.S. over dwindling Chinook stocks and quotas within the salmon treaty process have everything to do with habitat degradation in the Pacific Northwest and British Columbia. And please, don't ever think that it can't happen here. That's what was thought of the Pacific Northwest, and it did happen there. I grew up in Oregon and witnessed it firsthand. This year, some of the most severe commercial and sport harvest restrictions we have ever seen have been implemented for Chinook salmon in Southeast Alaska. While harvest restrictions for Southeast stocks is related to ocean survival and not habitat degradation, it is conditions like this that make freshwater salmon habitat protections absolutely imperative. We cannot directly control ocean conditions, but we can and must protect and maintain salmon spawning and rearing habitat to the highest level possible. Unfortunately, the current status quo does not do that. I want to thank the chair and other members of the committee for their efforts to increase habitat protections on the transboundary rivers in the face of the massive mining development occurring in BC. Now it's time to fully demonstrate Alaska is just as concerned for our own salmon habitat as we are about British Columbia's and support HB 199. Thank you for the opportunity to testify this morning.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll hear from Jim Shamam. Okay, Jim, it's up to you. If you'd stay. Testimony, please.
Hi, my name is Jim Shramick, and I'm representing myself and my family, especially my 18-month-old grandson. I've lived in Petersburg for over 40 years. I worked for the Forest Service as a hydrologist and GIS coordinator, Geographic Information Systems. One of the things I did was come up with ways to capture information about streams into the databases, and I agree with everything I've heard this morning, especially like what Brian just got through saying, HB 199 and Stand for Salmon, that language a little bit stricter is probably more important than watered-down versions. But one point I wanted to make was that despite the fact that we made tremendous strides in trying to capture all the information about all the streams, one of the things we've learned is that there are a lot more tributaries out there than we've been able to capture in our databases. So even if we've got statewide standard data sets now, which is happening lately, to get them all set up. We can't rely on that kind of data to give us all of the decisions and all of the answers to any kind of development. There has to be on-site investigation of everything. That one of the people from Ketchikan, I believe, talked about how there was more salmon streams there. They found habitat that was anadromous that wasn't in the catalog, and that will probably always be the case. It's more complicated to take into account everything that's there, and with the kinds of development that are being proposed, there's no way to turn back. You lose those habitats, and you're risking downstream habitats. It's really important that we make the right decisions, and you can't do that without having all the information and a process to be able to use it effectively. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, I do want to mention that I've got times on the people in the room as well, so we'll kind of be jumping back and forth. Next, we'll go to Joan Travstino in Anchorage. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please, and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Joan Travstino. I live in Anchorage, Alaska. I have voted in every general and primary election in the state of Alaska since 1982. I'm speaking in opposition to House Bill 199. Alaska's economy requires diversity, and it requires responsible management of a diverse economy, and that includes mining, forestry, oil and gas, fisheries. All of them need to be managed together to create a diverse economy. What I have not heard in the testimony so far is why is that not working? I've heard testimony regarding healthy salmon fisheries. There is a robust permitting process. There is public comment open right now on what seems to be the major concern here, which is the Pebble Mine. People can participate in that. So therefore, I do not see the need for House Bill 199. I don't see the problem it is trying to fix. Thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Gail Phillips in Anchorage. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Good morning, Madam Chairman. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to testify this morning. My name is Gail Phillips. I currently live in Anchorage, but have lived in many communities in our state. I am speaking as a concerned Alaskan. I oppose House Bill 199 and this CF. According to your sponsor statement, this bill is known as the Wild Salmon Legacy Act. In truth, it should be known as the Shutdown Alaska's Development Act. The Title 16, which is our state fish habitat permitting act, needs to be updated. Then that should have been the goal of this bill. Unfortunately, rather than updating, this bill attempts to circumvent common sense so completely that it will negatively affect any large or small development projects everywhere in our state. For decades, we have bragged that Alaska has the strictest fisheries protection laws in the world. If this is so, why are you attempting to make major changes to the law? Have we been lying about our fisheries protection methods and policies? If our protection laws are already the best, what is the need for the changes? Why not just be honest about this and say that this bill is just another attempt to stop the Pebble Mine Project or any other large mine or development project? Alaskans understand honesty and forthrightness. This bill is neither. An earlier testifier remarked that the definition of a permitting process is to permit an activity. Opposite of that is the denial process. It appears that this bill is unilaterally trying to change our entire permitting process into a denial process, and I strongly oppose this attempt. Alaska already has a rigorous regulatory system in place to protect our waterways, our communities, and our lands. These systems have worked well for many years. Our regulatory systems already allow for...
If you could sum it up, please.
Our regulatory systems already allow for protection of our resources while at the same time allow for economic and resource development to occur. I urge you not to move this bill forward.
I believe this bill is a real...
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll go to Tim Troll in Anchorage. Tim, if you'd state your name and affiliation, please, and begin your testimony.
My name is Tim Troll. Thanks for the opportunity to participate here. I'm currently the executive director of the Crystal Bay Heritage Land Trust, founded by Chugian Limited Village Corporation in 2000, and so far, through purchasing conservation easements, we have helped protect some 34,000 acres of salmon habitat in Crystal Bay. I support HB 199, particularly in the form it was originally introduced. I would like to address one of the underlying concepts in the original bill, at least as it relates to Crystal Bay. That is, the language that provided a naturally occurring permanent or seasonal water body to be presumed to be important anadromous fish habitat. In 2008, our land trust participated in and helped fund an intensive effort to document anadromous streams in the headwaters of the Nishgat and Pruchek watershed. This involved raising upwards of $1 million to engage helicopters, purchase or lease backpack electrofishers, find and pay for remote lodging, and engage needed scientists and technicians, many of whom helped volunteered for us. The effort lasted for 6 years and resulted in the addition of hundreds of streams to Alaska's catalog of anadromous waters, the key reference document that lists streams or portions of streams supposedly protected by ADF&G. As we were doing our stream sampling, especially in the early days, one question really bugged us. Why is this work even necessary? Every time we flew a helicopter out to sampling, a sampling crew found salmon in 7 out of 10 streams or stream segments we sampled. We even found salmon above beaver dams and occasionally what appeared to be isolated ponds. Put another way, why are we spending so much money and literally risking our lives to prove the obvious in a place like Crystal Bay, where salmon have been thriving and exploiting the landscape for thousands of years? Why are we basically making the salmon prove where they are in order to live, to have their home waters protected by the very department established after stages to protect them? Our system of identifying and protecting salmon habitat.
If you could wrap up your testimony, please.
All right. I guess I'll summarize and say in a place like Crystal Bay, we should start with the presumption that all streams are anadromous and all parts of those streams are important. HB 199, as introduced, we do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next, we have Bill Hauser. If you'd state your name and affiliation and begin your testimony, please.
Thank you. My name is Bill Hauser. I'm representing myself, my small business called Fish Pot, and in particular the fish. I've had a 50-year career doing fisheries biology work, professional biologist, and an angler for at least 70 years. I've lived in different parts of the country and regions. A 30-year career here in Alaska with ADF&G for over 20 years. And I'm here to speak for the fish. Fish need habitat and good quality habitat, and I support HB 199. Raw materials are needed for any kind of production, whether it's manufacturing or fish. Raw material for fish is fish habitat. When we use it for manufacturing, we use it once and it's gone. We use it for fish, it's renewable and reusable, and we have fish for the future. I can't speak with the fluency of the poet, but I've got a couple of bits of anecdotes that I think are enlightening. So that we can provide fish for the future generations of Alaskans in commercial, sport, subsistence, and personal use fisheries. First of all, the importance of fish habitat and fish were recognized at statehood and built into the Constitution. So it's not a new concept here that we're looking at. I'm currently helping to arrange a professional society house a meeting of fishery scientists from Alaska and from the western United States. We've got many participants coming from the western third of the U.S.
Mr. Hauser, if you could wrap up your testimony, please.
And these people are coming from places where their salmon populations have been depleted. What they want to do to recreate here in Alaska is go fishing. fish. We need to have fish habitat if we're going to have fish for ourselves and for future generations. We support our fish habitat in this bill.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Hauser. Next, we have Ed Gore. If you could state your name and affiliation for the record, please, and begin your testimony.
My name is Ed Gore. I'm representing myself. I do not agree with HB 199. I think it will seriously impact our community development, economic development, and future gas pipeline. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Gore. Next we have John Sturgeon. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please, and begin your testimony.
Thank you very much. Again, my name is John Sturgeon. I'm here to oppose House Bill 199. I think it's anti-development and based on false promises and based on very little science, if any. I've been in the forest products industry in Alaska for 48 years. With our industry is regulated by the Forest Practices Act. The Forest Practices Act was developed on real science, not on false promises. Focuses on three things: clean water, reforestation, and protection of salmon habitat. I would disagree with the gentleman from Sitka that has said there's a salmon stream that wasn't protected. The way it works is that private landowners like I work on, if we it's our responsibility to determine if those streams have salmon in them. We have catalog streams, if you know for sure. And prior to going into an area, fish and game comes in and walks the area, and we throw traps in the water, and our foresters actually go out and trap the streams also. So to say that just because the stream isn't cataloged, it's not being protected, at least in the forest products industry, is not true. We are very proud the Forest Practices Act was based on science. We don't see this act as based on science. An example would be stream buffers. We found that 95% of large wooded debris, which is a very important component for protecting fish, came from within 66 feet of the streams. So you could have a 200-foot buffer, a 300-foot buffer. And
you thank you. If you could, Mr. Surgeon, if you could wrap up your testimony, please.
That's it. I oppose this bill, and I think it's based on false promises.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Chip Triman in Anchorage. If you could state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Suits. For the record, my name is Chip Triman. I'm representing myself. I would thank the committee and yourself for the tremendous effort you've put into addressing a very real issue. I think I hope that you'll pass House Bill 199 and let it go through the rest of the legislative process. I think it's delusional and a delusion promoted by some proprietary interests to think that there is a robust system that protects habitat at this time. If you go back and read the legislation that was first put in place, I think that it's pretty clear that the protections are weak and they need to be strengthened. And I very much appreciate the fact that your committee has worked so hard to try to make some compromises. I think it's a step in the right direction. It probably doesn't go as far as I would like to see, but I think that it's a step, and I appreciate the work that you have all done. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. I'm going to take a few that are here in Juneau now, and I would like to take John Sonnen. John, if you'd like to state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you. I was thinking maybe I'd have to take my name off the list. John Sonnen, representing Civilly Sustainable Humanity. Live over on Douglas right now, and I suppose before I get mired in the particulars of my I don't want to say weeding mind, but it might be a weeding mind. I'm very much in support of 199, and I would like to see it go further myself. I think that the last decade of the Tuscarora Chief leaking its time bomb that's due to explode down the Taku River is in the Tongass, which is where salmon are critical everywhere. And the Tongass, I don't know if proper, they're continuing to build out there. Want to get that crazy, insane road through. I mean, it's just worthless. But all of the critical habitat, which is everything, is critical. Disregard. Quality of life. And I think that 199 is a step in the right direction. We have to go further, but I appreciate you, Chair Stutz, and the members of the committee who are here today taking testimony. And I'm glad that most of what I heard is in support, because I am too. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next we have John Hambaum here in the room. Should state your name and affiliation, please, for the record, and begin your testimony.
My name is John Lamborn. I'm a professional geologist. I've been living and working in Alaska in the mining industry since 1985. I've worked on multiple prospects in several mines. I've seen the permitting process to put a mine into production go from 18 months to 18 years. It looks like that time frame is well on the way to making it to 30 or 40 years for a prospect to make it from fruition to a mine. That time lag is not because the mining industry is fraught with environmental disasters. On the contrary, we're an industry that has been diligent and forward-looking in conjunction with government agencies to build mines that are not prone to potential environmental disasters. Based on our history, we've done a very good job. The current permitting process is working very well. In Alaska, mining has brought benefit and hope to all communities it serves and is a part of. Without exception, the mining community in Alaska is a locally derived and locally supported part of every community we're involved in. For example, the two mines in Juneau, both were vehemently opposed during startup and now are pillars of the community. Our industry works diligently to achieve and set standards for the world in environmental stewardship. Our permitting system has been improved over decades of study, effort, and experience. Under existing permitting systems, it takes 3 to 5 years of baseline studies to begin to file for So tell me what's wrong with the current system. Leave it alone. It's science-based. This bill is intended to hamstring projects, but it goes way past that. It encompasses the entire state. All industry and communities will be negatively impacted by this bill. It will negatively impact the oil and gas industry, municipal communities, and even individuals. It encompasses all Alaskans. From what I understand by reading this bill, I will need subject to revocation to take my boat or float plane hunting or fishing because I have to I will not be impacting anadromous waters.
I'm going to have to ask you to sum up your testimony, please.
Isabella Coal Mine has been in production for 75 years. Red Dog Mine has been in production for 33 years. Greens Creek Mine restarted 29 years ago, began in 1930s. Fort Knox began...
I'm going to have to ask you to sum up your testimony, please.
There has been no...
We would be happy to take your written testimony, and I would be happy to pass it out to the committee.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Next, we have James Tana. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record. And I might add to anyone that wants to submit their testimony to this committee, we will make sure that it is available to all committee members and posted on BASIS as well.
Hello, I'm James Danha from Juneau, and I'm here in support of HB 199. I'd like to echo what probably I think 95% of testimonies have said, that don't believe it goes far enough, but a step in the right direction. I'd like to thank you personally, Representative Stutes, and the co-sponsors, Andy Josephson, Representative, and Representative Tarr, or excuse me, Mr. Guerra. Believe are the two co-sponsors, and so I'm here in support of HB. Thank you for your work.
Thank you for your testimony. Next we'll go to the Fairbanks LIO, Douglas McIntosh. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
My name is Douglas McIntosh. My affiliation, I'm doing it for myself and also for Alaskans for wildlife bears need. HB 199 doesn't go far enough, but I still urge you to support it. That's all I have.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. McIntosh. Let's see here. We have next we will go to our off-net individuals, and we have Courtney Cardi in Dellingham. Courtney, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Sure, my name is Courtney Cardi. I'm the tribal administrator here at the Tribune Tribal Council, which is a federally recognized tribe in Dellingham. Today, I will just state on the record that the Tribune Tribal Council, you know, we're leaders not only in our region but across the state, working with the state and federal resource managers to protect our way of life, not only just in fish and wildlife habitat protection, but also in the protection of our native children, as we work so strongly and closely with the state of Alaska on ICWA issues. Last year, when this bill was gaining traction, our tribal council authorized Resolution 2017-12 on May 11th. And even though we're about a year out, we sure appreciate the time that the legislature and the House Fisheries Committee is taking to revisit this bill, because protecting Alaska salmon is part of ensuring the sustainability of our great state. I think a lot of people agree that the best laws and the best projects, the best laws are made and best projects are developed with transparency and open communication, with effective engagement with stakeholders and the public. I think enacting HB 199 will further facilitate the intention that the writers of our Constitution outlined in the opening statement of Article 8 of the Natural Resources section of our Constitution, which states that it is the policy of the state to encourage the settlement of its land and the development of its resources by making them available for maximum use consistent with public interest. Implementation of HB 199 will provide fish and game, the Alaska fish and game, with the mechanism to incorporate that constitutional directive, making these resources available for use consistent with public interest. Right now, there's not a lot of public process involved in state permitting like there is with federal permitting. Allowing this bill to move forward will give Fish and Game and the state of Alaska, our residents, the ability to work together to manage these resources for maximum use.
Thank you. If you could sum up your testimony, please. Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll go to Michael Cole in Juneau. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please, and begin your testimony.
My name is Michael Cole. I'm from Juneau, Alaska, and I'm representing myself and a local sporting goods company and also commercial fisheries directly tied to them. I'd like to thank the representatives that have sponsored what's going on with HB 199. Having been in the fishing industry all my life, I just totally feel that we really need to take a look at how the process of the permitting for all the non-renewable resources is looked at, and try to hold them more accountable for anything environmentally that they do that could affect salmon. I mean, salmon is a way of life for almost all Alaskans, and after, you know, watching what's happened to salmon habitat, salmon runs in the lower 48 and lower British Columbia and some of the mining accidents, it's just imperative that we give a few more protections for salmon habitat, especially rearing habitat. And if we can't do that, then, you know, the future of our salmon are definitely in trouble. Thank you for your time and appreciate your help.
Thank you for your testimony. I think that we'll take one more and then we'll give the committee a five-minute break. So we have Stephanie Quinn Davidson from Anchorage. If you could state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Sure. My name is Stephanie Quinn Davidson. I'm in Anchorage, Alaska, and I'm representing myself today. Thank you, Representative Seuss, and your staff for work on this bill and for listening to the Alaska Board of Fisheries and citizens of Alaska who have requested an update to our habitat laws. The current habitat laws are not working in Alaska. We just have to look to Kenai and Matsu areas where properly permitted development projects have actually been linked to locally impacted salmon populations. And with increased pressures on the horizon, we need to act now and act proactively to properly protect our salmon. Yes, Alaska needs an economy, and our healthy salmon fisheries are a critical part of a thriving economy in Alaska. This bill is an attempt to balance economic development with protection of salmon through responsible development. I want to be clear, though, however, that while I support components of House Bill 199, there are several components that I do not support in its current iteration. I support the public process that's remained in there, the two-tier permitting system that's remained, and I support that you require written rationale from the Commissioner of Fish and Game. I think that creates transparency. However, I'm concerned that the current iteration of the bill has weakened the mitigation standards, and it's not clear to me if the developers can restore or mitigate systems that are away from their development projects, which I don't think is an appropriate form of mitigation biologically, ecologically, or even economically. I also don't approve that hatcheries as a mitigation tool are in this current iteration of the bill. And lastly, I'm disappointed that you've removed the presumption of imagery from the bill. I believe the reasoning was that above certain elevations, salmon simply don't exist. And I think that you could probably put some language in there that creates an exemption for areas above a certain elevation, but that removing the presumption of imagery as whole goes too far. In conclusion, I do support components of this bill, but believe that work needs to be done to strengthen it, and I believe our salmon are worth it.
Thank you for your testimony. I am going to give our committee, we have one more person. She's got her children here, and I'm going to allow her to testify before we take a break. So if you would like to come up, Amy Nye, and give your testimony, state your name and affiliation and your testimony currently.
Good morning.
Yeah, Matt, will you keep an eye? Oh,
thank you.
Okay, Lindsay, we've got a babysitter out there. Okay. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony,
thank you.
Please.
My name is Amy Nye. I live here in Juneau, Alaska, and I come from a family of fishermen. Kira's welcome to join me. We live in Elfin Cove, and we're troller fishermen. I would like to thank you for listening to the public comments this morning, and I appreciate all your work to protect Alaska salmon in future generations. More than anywhere in the world, Alaska has enabled, feel free to sit down, its people to enjoy the rich, varied benefits that come with healthy salmon runs. We our family has been fishing. Ronan and Kira's grandparents have been fishing, and my husband has been fishing. So we've seen a lot of the changes in salmon, excuse me, over time. So it's clear that we're at a crossroads in salmon history. While many Alaskans still depend on strong fisheries, like my family and friends, the first serious signs of decline raise critical questions about the long-term health of Alaska salmon. In many instances around the world, from Europe to New England to California and the Pacific Northwest, we've a lot of little changes that we've seen across the land have added up to big changes that undermine the natural systems that salmon depend upon. The small incremental losses may seem harmless one by one as each domino falls with little notice, yet when you add them all up, they become difficult to remedy. Declining habitat for spawning and rearing has and will remain one of the most important factors that depresses the runs in Alaska, and it would be tragic to lose salmon anywhere in Alaska because we failed to learn the lessons of history. This is our chance to get it right. Given how fundamental salmon are to Alaska, state leaders need to pass meaningful salmon habitat protections. By defining proper protections for salmon habitat now, Alaska can live up to its legacy as the last and greatest home for wild salmon.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you. With that, the committee will be taking a 10-minute break, and I will set the timer for 10 minutes so we know, so we are at ease.
Sorry.
We will go back on record, and we will start with we have Summers Cole. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Good morning, Chair Stutes, members of the House Fisheries Committee. My name is Summers Cole, and today I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I'm a gillnetter, part-time fly fishing guide, and this winter I have been working with Stand for Salmon. I was born and raised here in Juneau. Earlier this session, I delivered a letter regarding HB 199, which was signed by 200 commercial fishermen. That letter was in support of modernizing Alaska's salmon habitat permitting law. It hasn't been updated since statehood. It outlined the need for clear, science-based definitions of important habitat characteristics that must be maintained to support salmon runs, such as water quality, stream flow levels, and fish passage. It also highlighted the need for all salmon-bearing watersheds to be included in this permitting process, a list that is far longer than those currently surveyed and listed in the Anadromous Waters Catalog. It explained the importance of public notice and public comment periods for larger projects, because Alaskans have the right to know and should be allowed to comment on project applications that have the potential to impact their lives and their communities. And it explained the need for common sense standards that developers must meet to protect wild salmon runs as they develop a project in salmon habitat. It's easy to get mired in the subsistence use, but something that connects all user groups and all Alaskans without question is that more salmon returning to their natal streams is good news for everyone. Providing adequate protection to salmon habitat is part of sound management and is the single most effective way to ensure that this crucial piece of Alaska's sustainable economy is not eroded as we grow as a state. It is imperative to do so without permanently displacing or devaluing our existing renewable resources. Alaska is the world's last great stronghold of wild salmon. Salmon species once ranged widely throughout the Northern Hemisphere, and we are all familiar with the more recent losses of strong populations in California, Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia. I often imagine the great runs of the Columbia River and what that fishery would be worth now had they acted with foresight as they grew and developed. Thank you for having this conversation and considering this piece of legislation. Please move it forward and continue to work toward authority to protect fish habitat in such a way that it truly allows them to safeguard Alaska's salmon fisheries for generations to come.
Thank you. testimony. Representative Tarr.
Thank you. That was an exercise in speaking really fast. Good job. Could you resend the letter signed by the 200 fishermen? I just don't have it handy.
Yes, it is in the public record.
It is in the public record. Okay.
It's on basis, and we have it. We'll get it to the committee.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Next, we have Brianne Merkham. Oh, Meekham. Excuse me. Brianne Meekham, is that right? If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Thank you. Chair Stutes, members of the House Fisheries Committee, my name is Brianne Meekham. I am a born and raised Alaskan from Juneau, and today I am here representing myself. My husband and I own and run a gill netter here in Southeast, and salmon are important to me because I know how vital they are to our economy, to the health of Alaska's ecosystems, and to the cultures and spirits of all Alaskans. I want to thank you, Representative Stutes, for identifying the shortcomings in our salmon habitat permitting law and sponsoring this important piece of habitat loss is the leading cause of population declines and extinctions for all species worldwide. Alaska is fortunate enough to be home to some of the last strong wild salmon runs in the world, primarily because of our intact habitat. Right now, we have an opportunity to demonstrate that we recognize just how fortunate we are and that we are willing to redefine what it means to develop responsibly. Our current salmon habitat permitting law is weak and toothless, and we can't afford to squander our state's greatest renewable resource. We only have to look at our neighbors to the south to see what development projects do to wild salmon runs. Is this the legacy we want to leave for future generations of Alaskans? Will we look back at this moment, at this opportunity, in 20, 50, 100 years, and regret not having done more to protect one of Alaska's greatest assets? I hope that you will all ask yourself these questions and choose to be leaders on behalf of the thousands of Alaskans who want to see strong habitat protections written into state law. There are so many factors that affect salmon populations, and many of them are outside of our control or are far too complex to navigate. Conveniently, strengthening our salmon habitat permitting law is one of the easiest and most effective solutions we have to ensure that Alaska remains a worldwide leader in sustainable fisheries and that development doesn't occur at the expense of our most important renewable resources. I urge you to continue this conversation and to pass a version of HB 199 that clearly accomplishes this. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Melanie Brown. Melanie, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record.
Hi, my name is Melanie Brown. I'm here representing myself, but I would like to point out that I am a tribal citizen. I'm enrolled in Naknek Native Village, and I'm also a commercial. I have two children who represent the fifth generation of my family. Beyond being a commercial fisher, my relationship to salmon, it extends to how I experience the taste of the land and the water, and I truly believe that salmon are what wed those two elements together. And I live in Juneau in the winter, and I translated this relationship into the space that I live in here. And I feel that this relationship that I have to the land, and I know that other Alaskans share, is a richness that defines us as Alaskans. And this is what I work to protect, and I work to share with people so that they can understand this richness. And I wanted to thank you for the energy that you've put in. I think that what remains in the existing version of the bill, it's a vast improvement to what we currently have under our fish habitat law. But I do have to admit that I was disappointed to see the presumption of anadromy go away, and I can understand why it did. It's something that makes a lot of people uneasy because they feel that there are unintended consequences associated with it. But I do feel that something has to be done to somehow, take away the shortfall in the catalog. So, please, if you could do something about that. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next we have BJ Robinson. Okay. All right. Then we have Joe Emerson. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
My name is Joe Emerson. I'm from Juneau, Alaska, and I'm here representing myself, and I support House Bill 199. Thank you, Representative Stutz, and the other committee members for the opportunity to testify. I am a lifelong commercial fisherman. Three generations of my family have been commercial fishing in southeast Alaska and in Kodiak. And with two other Alaskans, I also own a retail and wholesale business in Michigan. We sell wild Alaska salmon. Our customers always ask us about the health of our salmon runs. They want to know where our fish comes from and if the fish is managed in a sustainable manner. We are asked a lot of questions about Fukushima radiation and the Pebble Mine Project. When they are confident the fish are managed in a sustainable manner and come from a pristine environment, they enthusiastically purchase the fish, even at a premium price. Sustainability is important to the consumer. To be a sustainable fishery, we have to manage our harvest conservatively and protect our salmon habitat. House Bill 199 is a reasonable action considering how many Alaskan residents are dependent on our salmon resource. I urge you to pass HB 199. It not only is the right thing to do, but it also makes economic sense.
Thank you for your testimony. Next we have, excuse me, Jacinda Mack. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Good morning. My name is Jacinda Mack, and I am an Indigenous woman from British Columbia, from the Sequim Nation. I'm here representing myself and the next seven generations of my line. I have done a lot of work around salmon protection and clean water protection in British Columbia, and it's in my home territory that the Mount Polley mine disaster occurred in 2014. And we have seen so much environmental rollback in British Columbia and in Canada around fisheries protection. And in my own life, I have seen the Fraser River, which I was born and raised on, my entire matrilineal line comes from that watershed, go from this massive, massive, healthy, strong run and slowly decline into softer and softer and unhealthier fish to now, last year, where most communities on the entire watershed didn't harvest any salmon at all. And so we don't have salmon at our dinners. We don't have salmon as part of our local trade economy anymore. We're not bringing our children to the river, and they're losing a taste for that way of life. They're losing the taste of that salmon. And when I come here to Alaska and I see how, there are different, I was in Sitka and the herring fishery, you know, the problems that are there, I see the same things happening that started happening in British Columbia about 20 years ago. And so I just wanted to share a bit of our experience there with the decline and how the impacts are beyond what you can even imagine. So I ask Alaskans, can you imagine what your life would be like if you never went on the water again, if you never ate anything from the sea again, and if you were unable to ever... And I bring that to you as a cautionary tale that it's happening now and it's not in the future, it's here. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. next we have Heather Hardcastle. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Hi there. Good morning. I'm Heather Hardcastle. I was born and raised here in Juneau, and I'm here representing myself as well as a mother. I thank you, Representative Stutz, and other members of the committee for having this conversation. I do support House Bill 199. I would love to see it much stronger, however, and support the original version of the bill. I call on all of you not only in thanks for what you have started, but please keep going. And I also speak to all of Alaskans, including our governor and lieutenant governor. I feel that it's not hyperbole to say that we are at a crossroads right now, and we are truly a salmon people here in Alaska, as are those in British Columbia and down the west coast of the United States. It's just that we are the only ones that still remain a salmon stronghold, and our salmon are truly in trouble. And I don't want to say or don't want to point fingers. I do want us all to acknowledge that we all played a role in getting us to this point, and we can all play a role in how we move forward and find solutions. We have to be precautionary, and we have to rise to the occasion. My mother worked for Senator Dick Eliason from Sitka in the 1980s, and so I remember as a middle schooler my mother talking with him about introducing the fin fish ban bill to the Alaska State Legislature. I remember Indigenous leaders and fishermen from British Columbia coming to testify before bodies like the Fisheries Committee, saying, as Jacinda just said, let us be a cautionary tale. Don't go this direction. And in that case, the message was not to support fish farms. Now, do all you can to have. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. You have a question, Representative Chris Tompkins?
Thank you. Just a comment. I find what you just noted apropos, given that the state of Washington just did a 180 and came back to where Alaska is and instituted a ban on finfish farming with the Atlantic salmon escapes there. So just appreciate that testimony.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. next, we will go to the Sitka LIO for Heather Bauscher. Heather, if you could state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Hello, my name's Heather Bauscher, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself. Thank you for working on this and making this a priority. I know this is difficult work. We are all here today because we love this place and we love our way of life. I think it is clear that people across the state see that we are too vulnerable to disaster with our current laws. So thank you again for putting the effort forth to work on this. We appreciate that efforts have been made to include public process and power to challenge determinations. This is a good starting place. It has been made clear that the plan is to develop our way out of the recession, which is fine. We know there are responsible ways to do this. We just don't want this at the risk to our fish. I don't want to imagine life without salmon. Jacinda just told us that cautionary tale. I don't want to imagine this community without salmon or Alaska without salmon. People in this community are very concerned right now. You've heard them speaking to closures this year and salmon derby cancellations. It's more than that, though. We know there are marine issues, and we can't do anything about that, but we can do something about our streams. And I know that we are all in hard times, and we're all seeing that. But the more we struggle economically, the more we rely on our ability to fill the freezer. And if we lose that ability, we lose our independence. And it's always the most vulnerable populations that are going to be disproportionately affected by this. We appreciate that in this version, there's more power to the voice of the people. But we need more enforceable levels of protection for our streams. The technology that exists these days is absolutely incredible. And as they say, there's so much amazing technology to do this safely and responsibly. I don't see the need to cut back protections to make this more palatable. I don't see a problem in holding these projects to a higher standard. I encourage the committee to continue this difficult work to solve this problem, and thank you so much for spending the time on this and allowing me to speak today.
Thank you for your testimony. Next we have Mark Niver out of Wasilla. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Mark Niver from Wasilla, Alaska. I'm representing myself, but I also am a father of three sons, and we all commercial fish in Bristol Bay. I'm also a
38-year Bristol Bay fisherman, and I'm a 41-year worker on the North Slope for British Petroleum. But I am calling in support of House Bill 199, though I wish it hadn't gotten weakened, but it's a good start. There's been a lot of testimony I've been listening to. It's been very interesting. But we have a lot of large projects that are coming on, wanting to come online here in Alaska, and we must always put salmon first, because if we don't, we will look like California, Washington, Oregon, and British Columbia. So I do support House Bill 199, and thank you for your efforts in doing so. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Raymond O'Neill from Anchorage. If you could state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yes, hi, thanks. My name is Raymond O'Neill, and I live in Anchorage. I'm speaking today on behalf of myself and Future Salmon Run. I want to thank Representative Stoops for bringing this legislation. I'm calling in support of the original HB 199, and I'm pleased to hear that there are so many people calling in favor of updating habitat protections. I've been in Alaska for 15 years now. I had the opportunity to work throughout the state as an environmental engineer, including work on cleaning up contaminated sites. My family is originally from Butte, Montana, where the impacts of resource extraction has had historically devastating unintended consequences resulting from a lack of regulation. My career has included wetland and stream delineation and restoration in the U.S. Midwest and on the East Coast, and I've seen firsthand the negative impacts of fish habitat that under-regulated land development has had in recent decades. Today, I know that we all know better, and in Alaska, we have much more sensitive ecosystems, especially our salmon fishery habitats. We also had the opportunity with the Wild Salmon Legacy Act to strengthen protections and ensure responsible resource development by bringing transparency and stability to a permitting process that has long needed updating with regard to salmon habitat protection. I was talking with a spokesperson for industries and organizations opposed to HB 199, and of course they are opposed to updating the regulations, as this may add cost to their development budget, obviously. But we need to be clear that the risk associated with not protecting our salmon as best we can cannot be left to outdated regulations or to multinational corporations. The idea, too, that intermittent streams, adding them to the collection of areas, riparian areas to be protected, that is somehow an unintended consequences.
Okay, I need you to sum up your testimony, if you would, please.
I want to thank all the folks here who have worked to develop this legislation and that support it. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Laura Wright in Talkeetna.
I'm there.
If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
My name is Laura Wright, and I am representing my... It seems to me that we have a resource that comes back year after year, and that feeds us and other animals, and we only have to do one thing to keep that continuing, and that's protect the habitat of salmon, and therefore I support House Bill 199. Now, as far as economic development, which a few people mentioned how important it was and how, you know, this bill may affect big-scale economic development, here in Talkeetna and in most of the Upper Susitna Valley, fish is the economic driver in the form of tourism through sport fishing, jet boat tours, nature walks, and all of the tour operators that operate there. And that is how many, many people make a living here, and that should not be discounted when we talk about economies. I know that Alaska throughout history is a boom and bust economy, and people are used to making great sums of money, mostly at these kind of large-scale projects. Well, perhaps that time has come to an end, and we aren't going to make that kind of money at things like mines and resource extraction. We have to reevaluate, and we should. I've heard a lot of people speak that appear to be very knowledgeable and have worked a long time in science. And I
believe that there is sound science behind this House bill, and I support it, and I hope that you do too. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll go to Thomas Tilden in Anchorage. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yeah, this, thank you very much. My name is Thomas Tilden, and speaking on behalf of myself, and I would like to speak in favor of Hostel 199. I've been a salmon fisherman all my life. I started promotion fishing in 1965. That I believe that the salmon need clean water, and they also need safe habitat protection in order for them to survive. I really believe that my beam has just picked up here in the state of Alaska. There are going to be many more pebbles, mines, there are going to be many more dogwood mines, there are going to be many more red dog puppies. In the state of Alaska, as mine gets, it's more exploration continues. And I think that if you ask yourself how many mines are polluted in Alaska now, I think you'd very astounded by the number. You'd probably have to ask DNR for that, and I think that you would find that there are all mines that are polluting right now in Alaska, and then you have to ask why. Why are they polluting? Don't we have rules and regulations to ensure that they don't? And you'll find out the laws and regulations are inadequate to sufficiently protect salmon habitat. And so I'm very happy that you introduced Hostel 199. I'm in fully support of it, because when I look at the future of Alaska, I see clean water, tourism, salmon are the reasons why people are going to come to Alaska. They're not going to come and see dirty mines or a whole bunch of pollution. So thank you very much for allowing me to testify, and I strongly support and urge you to continue to work on and pass Hostel 199. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Lindsay Bloom from Here in the Room. Thank you. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
My name is Lindsay Bloom, and since it's a Saturday morning, I'm here to represent myself and maybe my family and nobody else, which is a bit of a treat. I've met all of you on the committee before, so thanks for indulging me again today. I signed up to testify because I don't get an opportunity often to speak publicly and to speak out to other Alaskans. Oh, and I forgot my notes, so that's okay. I think I was going to tell you at first just a little bit about who I am and a little bit about my salmon life, which is a term, that most Alaskans, I think, have come to just kind of, we all understand what we mean when we talk about our salmon lives. I'm a commercial fisherman. I have been for most of my life. I'm a fisherman's daughter. I'm a fisherman's sister. I'm a fisherman's wife. I'm a fisherman's mother, two fishermen's mother. I had salmon for breakfast this morning. We eat it most days in our family. And as you can see from the handout I've passed around as well, I just thought pictures always speak 1,000 words. Like tens of thousands of other Alaskans, I cherish and would do anything for my salmon life, which represents not only paychecks, livelihood, sustenance, identity, and soul, frankly. I was also one of the original authors of the proposal to the Board of Fish that asked them to look into Title 16 and to consider sending a letter to you all to, you know, consider whether or not it's an adequate law to protect our salmon lives. So I'm very happy to talk about any of that. I was inspired to do that because several years back at the time of the proposal, we could sort of see what was coming down the road. We were beginning to have more closures. We were beginning to have more problems with returns. And we felt like, as Alaskans, we did have this chance to maybe do it right the first time. I think we're past that point now. My family, gillnets here in southeast Alaska, and we are dealing with significantly reduced fishing time and closures for all of the species that we fish for. And I'm just going to stop because my time's up. Any questions about it? Happy to
Thank you, Lindsay, for your testimony. Next, we have Whitney Wolf in Talkeetna. Whitney?
Hi, can you hear me?
We can. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Sure. My name is Whitney Wolf. I'm in Talkeetna. I'm speaking just for myself. I want to thank you all, sponsors and everybody else, for taking the time to consider these potential updates to Title 16. I think it's a step in the right direction. I've been following HB 199, and I think this current version has gotten really watered down. I think the original version was a lot stronger. In my 30 years working in volunteer community government capacity, I've watched a lot of Title 16 permits go through Fish and Game, and I think the system really begs for this common sense set of standards. We've got, you know, all the effort Board of Fisheries has made to approve these standards. We don't need to create them. They're there. We just need to learn how to apply them and make them enforceable standards. And I think we should just be looking at it like we're providing our agency, ADF&G, with the necessary tools to make these educated decisions for our salmon habitat. I think the good parts of the current version, of course, are the public process. I think two-tier permitting is essential, but I really think we need to restore that presumption of naturally. I know that our catalogs are only, 50% of our waterways are catalogs, but those are woefully behind, and that would be really short-sighted to remove that entirely. So I hope that we take the time to make this stronger, and I think just developing this common sense permitting is going to eliminate the current reactionary approach we all live through here politically in Alaska. And this is going to help to balance habitat and development. So I thank you for your time and thank you for hearing my testimony.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Next we have Louis Flora in Homer. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Oh, hi. My name is Louis Flora, and I work for the Alaska Center and calling from Homer. It's a sunny day here, and I don't know what it's doing in Juneau, but thanks a lot for taking this opportunity to take public testimony on House Bill 199. This is a complex piece of legislation, and I really appreciate the work that the chair and her staff have put into the different versions of the bill. I support the original version of House Bill 199 and the strong language it had and the guidance it gave to the Commissioner of Fish and Game. In specific, the language was removed in a subsequent draft that gave the Commissioner of Fish and Game guidance on when a project that is being sought for approval would require water treatment in perpetuity. That project would have to be re-engineered so the water treatment in perpetuity would not occur. And that has been taken out of the current draft version M, and I think that's a really important piece that we need to look at for long-term economic sustainability of projects, so we're not having a lot of costs go over to the public that are unnecessary. And so I think that provided standard and some guidance that would allow developers to move forward in a way that protects salmon habitat and not put the cost on the public. There are some very good items in the draft version M, such as the bailable citation language. I think that's really important. That should be retained. And the public comment piece is very important. So, again, thanks a lot. And thank you for coming in on Saturday, and good luck with the rest of the session.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Mike Frisero from the Kodiak LIO. Mike, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Yes, good afternoon, Louise and Chair Louise and the committee. My name is Mike Frisero. I am a 45-year resident of Kodiak, Alaska. I've been fishing halibut and salmon for 39 years in western and south central Alaska. I'm speaking today to you as an individual. I'd like to address the committee members and the chair, Representative Stutes, and I'd like to thank Louise Stutes and her staff, as well as the House Fisheries Committee and their staff, overall for your work on creating and developing this legislation to strengthen our salmon habitat protections. You may recall I was in Juneau last month and had the opportunity to meet with several on the committee, several committee members and their staff. My salmon life includes service through foster parenting, coaching, and various nonprofit organizations. As well, I give service to the salmon industry and the salmon culture as a board member for an important harvesting group, a nonprofit organization, and I'm a founding and primary donor of Stanford Salmon. I have observed firsthand the incredible and unparalleled abundance of salmon in Alaska. The important significance of our salmon, as well as other fish and wildlife, directly connected to the health of salmon runs and clean water. Our diverse, eco-rich systems are the foundation of our opportunity and wealth as Alaskans. The existing permitting system in our constitutional framework does not provide adequate protections. Our state constitution mandates protection of salmon and salmon habitat, but is too vague to ensure long-term protections in the face of constant and ever-increasing pressures and tendencies towards industrialization. The status quo permitting structure, if left unchanged, will lead us down the same path as all of the rest of the world whose salmon resources have disappeared or are endangered. Please pursue the successful passing of this legislation, the importance of ensuring habitat protection and increasing public participation in the permitting process cannot be overstated. I'd like to thank all of you for your efforts on behalf of all Alaskans and state that I do support the original version of HB 199, but I also understand the need to modify it in order to pass. And thank you both folks again.
Thank you for your testimony, Mike. Next we have BJ Robinson here in the room. Hi, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
My name is BJ Robinson. I was raised in Juneau, but I've lived in Gustavus and Sitka and Fairbanks and Anchorage. Many of my friends and community members are deeply interwoven with salmon and its habitat, and on a good year, my freezer is plenty full of salmon, and most of my friends are exhausted from a season well-fished. Our relationship with salmon is not always as simple as fish in the freezer. I'm inside with you all on this beautiful day. Because I want to thank you for your work on this and speak, I think, for many people I'm close to who would be here if maybe they didn't want the sun quite so badly. Much of our community makes a living in tourism, and I think that our relationship with salmon is complex. I've worked for 10 summers in Gustavus as a kayak guide, mostly to take people out and be near to the whales, and I think it's good to remember that we're not really just fighting for salmon. It's a pretty complicated ocean system that has already been disrupted plenty. I also wanted to mention my dad has been a geologist in the state of Alaska for 40 years, and he agrees that we need legislation to protect our salmon waters and that legislation needs to be updated and made more transparent. I'm certainly not against mining, but I am against not learning from our past history. I think I'm currently working as a nurse at the Alaska Native Medical Center in Anchorage, and I can tell you very honestly that none of my patients don't eat salmon. They all are very affected by our ocean and what comes back to our intricate web of rivers across our state. I think we owe countless of generations of Alaska Natives whose villages from Bristol Bay to the hundreds of river systems that zigzag across our state, sustainable fisheries. Thanks.
Thank you for your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Next we have Erin Kandel in Petersburg. If you would state your name and affiliation for the record, Erin.
Hello, my name is Erin Kandel, and I'm representing myself and my family. My husband is a second-generation fisherman from Petersburg, Alaska, and our family is supported by salmon. We rely on its sustainability for our livelihood and hope that this livelihood is protected for our son's generation and beyond. We support the strongest possible protections to keep the wild salmon run vital. Please pass House Bill 199. Thank you for all your efforts on this.
Thank you for your testimony, Erin. Next we have Robert Bohe from Kodiak. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yes, my name is Robert Bohe, but it's actually pronounced Bowie, spelled Bohe. But I'm from Kodiak. I'm a commercial fisherman, third generation. Grandfather worked on a fish trap in Southeast. I'd like to thank you for your support of 199. I'll also remind you that restoring habitat is also enhancing habitat with hatchery fish that are taken from those waters that are a natural fish that are enhanced and put back in those waters. That's very important. The salmon is what we watch to see the health of our systems, lake, creeks, and rivers. I'd also like to address the fact that that continues into our oceans, and if we cannot protect them in our oceans or the habitat in our oceans, then it's a failure. 3 years ago, you led an effort from Kodiak to redo the king cap in the Gulf of Alaska and allow the trawlers to go back out and catch X amount of kings again. Once again, we have a letter coming from Kodiak addressing the king cap in the Gulf of Alaska and asking it that it be reduced. It's tough being a politician, I'm sure. Seems like there's a lot of fence straddling, but I think with you sitting on this chair now and listening to these people and the importance of salmon, it has to be reminded to everybody that fish's health in our offshore environment is as important as our creeks, rivers, and things. And I hope that you understand that hatchery fish is just not a drop word. A hatchery fish is a restoration fish. It's a natural fish. And it's what we do now to continue our run strength or recover our run strength. And I'm sorry, I have a cold, so I probably sound like crap. So thank you very much. And thank you, everybody, for showing up today and speaking your mind.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Clay Freck here in the room. Clay, if you'd state your name and affiliation, please.
My name's Clay Frick. I'm a current resident of Haines. I've been a past resident of Port Alexander. Both communities are very reliant on healthy runs of fish. I ran my own troller for a number of years. I still have a power troll permit. I'd like to thank you for your work on enhancing this legislation that is in desperate need of protecting our salmon and salmon habitat. Lots of folks have already, more eloquently than I, have testified to the importance of salmon in our region and all of the ties that it brings to not only economic benefits but also spiritual benefits and also to other animals that inhabit this part of the world that I feel are just as important as for many reasons. The reason I've heard some folks testify that they don't feel that the existing system is broken, I can point out a couple of areas where the state has permitted salmon destruction, such as the Chewitna River. 10 miles of that stream or more were basically approved by DNR to be strip mined as a coal mine, and they said that that was perfectly okay because restoration could occur 35 years from now. Little Boulder Creek that flows into the Chilkat River used to be, it's a small little tributary that comes in there, but it was a large producer of king salmon. DOT had a road project. They rip-wrapped a whole bunch of it, and that's diminished that run greatly. This legislation really needs to be, I believe, stronger as well. I think the idea that a mine can leave water that has to be perpetually, in perpetuity, cleaned, that's crazy. Anyway, I appreciate your work that you've done on this. I expect there's going to be a lot more work to be done. And with that, thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Homer Brenda Dalma. Brenda, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Hi, I'm Brenda Dolma, and I'm here for myself. I love our beautiful state of Alaska. Thank you for coming in and allowing me to come in on this gorgeous day to testify. I'm very excited that we have a bill that will protect our habitat. Our habitat's complex, and whatever we can do to maximize the habitat, we can never get the habitat back. and we have a gift to protect it at its maximum capacity. So it sounds like the original state might give us that best way to protect it. I've had the opportunity to travel a number of times this year throughout our world, and Alaskan fish have come back, have come up in conversations about how blessed we are to have that wild Alaskan salmon. Once it goes away, as in many places in the world, we can't get it back to the capacity that it is now. We don't have the technology. So protect our fish, our riparian zones. Please keep in there saying no to any projects that would damage the fish habitat, and this includes both on land and in sea. So thank you for your time. We have a precious resource, and you're at the place to make the difference to protect and keep what we have. Thank you for your time, and thank you for protecting our amazing, wonderful state of Alaska.
Thank you, and thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Jill Weitz in Douglas.
Hi there, Rep. Stutes. My name is Jill Weitz, and I live on Douglas Island, but I'm calling in from Haines, Alaska, and sorry I couldn't be there today. I know many of you because I work in salmon conservation now, but I would like to just speak to kind of what led me there. My background is in water policy and law, and I first started working in Alaska as an compliance and enforcement officer for the Department of Environmental Conservation's Division of Water. I've traveled throughout the state of Alaska inspecting large-scale projects from mines to seafood processing plants to small-scale construction projects, and I have seen firsthand the limits within the habitat summoning process. Not only that, but the monitoring and the compliance and enforcement of these permits that are issued across the state. Therefore, I can say without, I fully support the initial HB 199 legislation, and I thank you for your efforts in working with all of the state of Alaska to ensure that we can protect our water and our sustainable resources for the generations to come. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I see no further testifiers online. Let me just double check here. Currently, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to come here in the room, and we have an invited testifier here, Rick Halford, former Senate President. He has been invited to testify for 199, and he will be unable to attend on Tuesday morning when we have other invited testimony. So we're certainly happy to have him here today, and naturally he's going to get some extra time. So please.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I would start with echoing the...
If you could identify yourself for the record, you should know that, sir.
Rick Halford, I've worked for a number of Bristol Bay organizations over the last dozen years. My three sons commercially fished in Bristol Bay this year, and the family participates in subsistence fishery out there. But I first would echo the thanks that everybody has said from both sides about the energy and the effort you put into this. I know it's been a long, difficult process, and you know, the perfect is often the enemy of the possible, and I think this is a place where we've seen those arguments, certainly. But starting with the sustainable salmon policy and on to the Board of Fish letter, and then the efforts over 2 years to get a bill and all the good things included, we have a product, and nobody on the outside can assess inside about what's possible. And if this is the best that's possible, then congratulations. It's a huge improvement over the existing system. I loved some of the prohibitions on stuff like perpetual remediation and other things that were there. But the fact is that it does have public notice. It does have the process things. It does have tools for the Department of Fish and Game, and it is a big improvement. And rather than kind of go on with what everybody else has said, I would just say that there's a couple of statements I disagreed with, and I probably agreed with virtually everything else I heard. But one statement I strongly disagreed with was that we have the strictest protections of salmon habitat in the world. That is not true. And another is that this is unnecessary. That is also not true. It is very necessary, and going forward with this bill, I think, is a great service to the state. If it's the best you can get, I would encourage you to move it on, get it going, and see if it's possible to get something passed in this legislature.
Thank you. Are there questions? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As an outsider sort of looking in, I'm just wondering what you think of what you see happening with fisheries management as it pertains to the budget and, you know, some of the budget decisions that we're making. If you could shed some light on that in the context of sort of, you know, making these decisions. Because, for example, we know there's been issues with the runs performing at their historic levels, and we had put some money into funding research, but I think that's been largely scaled back over the last few years because of the budget cuts. And I just wonder if you can sort of compare from your time to now.
Well, I'm concerned about budget, but I'm also delighted with the technology that's happened over the last years that has helped us get things about, you know, the early arguments that I got into 30, 35 years ago were about different segments of mixed stocks. And at those times, it was coded wire tags and very expensive process to find out what was happening to weaker stocks mixed with stronger stocks. Now you have genetics, and things are changing, happening, and doing wonderful things about management tools. They all cost money. So I'm concerned about the financial side of it, but I'm also delighted with what science is doing to be able to learn more and know more. Because I think when you're harvesting in mixed stocks for maximum economic value, it's important that you don't hurt the weaker elements of that stock, and you have to have knowledge to know. And if you can get it from genetics without very expensive processes, it's a big help, particularly in salmon.
Thank you. Representative Edgman.
Rick, thanks for being here today. Just wanted to, if my mic is actually working, I don't hear it up here as working.
No, it doesn't sound like it.
But they're hearing me in the back of the room. So earlier in the day, we heard testimony to Dick Eliason, a former colleague of yours back in the 90s. And I was actually here as a staffer when that bill was being supported and pushed through the process. But the question I guess I would ask you is that in your time being in the legislature and certainly looking forward, what do you make of this movement sort of statewide from, I think, a great cross-section of the state in terms of, you know, putting more emphasis on protecting salmon habitat? And, you know, I think you could argue back in the 80s and the 90s, the 2000s, wherever, that emphasis was there, but maybe not to the degree that we have it today and possibly tomorrow, knowing that this bill or the initiative, you know, may not become law. But that the effort itself may continue on. So I thought I would just give you an opening to talk a little bit about where you see this whole sort of movement going.
Well, the defense of salmon habitat is certainly going to be a big issue in the next series of elections, no matter what. I think this bill can at least put some ground underneath a minimum standard that can do a lot of good. So they're related, but they're independent. But to me, and, you know, I started in this process as an air taxi operator, and most of my early customers were miners or prospectors. So my interest as I got into the pebble mine question was, how can you make it work? And I came to the conclusion after a lot of effort that it wouldn't work. So my thought, the whole time I was here, I always thought that you could maximize the use of resources in conflict with hard, active management, spend the money and do it. And there's cases where that doesn't work, and I came to the conclusion that Pebble was one of them. But in that process, I've also just learned, and you listen to the same science people going place to place to place. If you're taking them there, you got nothing else to do but listen. So you learn. And what I've come to the conclusion and just absolutely believe that salmon are probably one of the greatest miracles on earth. All over the earth, the nutrients of the land are washing into the water. They're over energizing the water, and they're destroying the land. There's only one thing in a it was the opposite. Salmon defy gravity. They leave sometimes 1,000 miles upstream, the size of your little finger, and they come back and bring 30 pounds of protein and leave it there to feed everything from tiny microorganisms to brown bears and the very soul of Alaska and its vegetation. So, all of the science that can put a man on the moon is not smart enough to replace 1,000 generations of natural selection that makes a fish that you can't figure out how it does it. And you listen to the best of the scientists, the Schindlers and all the people that are really fascinating to listen to. And every time you think you've got the variables, they can tell you another one. But then they'll tell you there's a whole lot they don't know. So salmon are magic. And that's the only way I can think of describing it. It is absolutely one of the most important things we can fight for in the definition of who we are and where we are.
Thank you. Representative Chris Tompkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Halford. I'm curious from your time in the legislature, was there ever a hard look at Title 16? And if so, this obviously predates me, but in the era of Halford and Dick Eliason, what was the legislature thinking or doing on Title 16 salmon habitat?
Dick Eliason was a very good friend, and he taught me some good lessons. I was here with a group of people that were phenomenal people, and it just really, I was the majority leader when Dick Eliason was Senate president. But the first lesson he taught me was on this side when I first came to the House, and it was over the herring stripping ban arguments. And I came down as a Republican out of the urban areas, and Dick was from Sitka, and he said he was trying to get votes in the Republican caucus over the stripping ban. And the industry was here saying, don't do it, it's not economic, it'll never work. And the first time, I went with the other side. And Dick said, and we only gave him a one-year extension or a two-year extension or something like this. And Dick said, they'll be back in a year or two, and you'll have the same arguments. It'll be over again. They will never do it as long as you don't force them to do it. And he was right. And 2 years later, we broke it up so that the band marched up the coast, and they could never get all their friends together at the same time to beat us. But another big case that Eliason led the fight was for the whole anadromous waters, the presumption of anadromy is related to it, but it's the whole, if you haven't got the water, it doesn't matter. You know, the science people can tell you all kinds of water chemistry things, but nothing is as direct as a picture of an empty lake with a bunch of dead fish on the bottom. You have to have quantity before it matters what the quality is. But I wish I had gone with Dick Eliason in about 1990 in the legislation over the anadromous waters and all of that. But Dick was a very good friend, a great legislator, a lot of fun, had a great sense of humor, and we had a lot of wonderful people that I got to learn from. You are very, very fortunate. You know this. I think you all know it because state legislators are incubators of places to think about things. And you can pick for a two-year period you want to think about something with health, something with resources, something with finance, something with law, and you can concentrate on that. And you don't have to eat the whole menu every day. You can work on what you want to work on. The executive branch has to eat the whole menu every day, and that's much harder.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you. Thank you for taking your time to come and testify before the Fisheries Committee.
Thank you for your efforts. And it's a good bill.
Thank you. Online, I see we have Timothy Wonhola from Bristol Bay. Did I get that
right? Yes. Good morning, My name is Timothy Wanhola. I was born in Billingham, Alaska, September 29, 1946. As I grew up, we mainly depended on fish because there are so many abundance that returned to the sand, to where they were born. Each year, the salmon season is now coming upon us again, another season. We depend on seasons as far as using the natural renewable resources. And I would like to see very much a younger generations being like us when we were growing up. I would like to pass that down. And mine would be a disastrous killing the fish. Not only that, but the culture which I stand on. I got the younger generations that I'm voicing out for, because all the animals and the fish depend on clean water, and the mine would destroy everything in its path. That is a wrong place to build a mine. I really don't like where the mine is going to be, if it ever comes to be. I don't want that mine. We don't want that mine. The younger generations need to look forward to being part of our culture as they grow into place. There are three cultures that use the salmon, and the clean water makes it possible. I would like to very much thank to support 199 House Bill. That will give us a leeway to who we are. Our culture needs to stay alive. And there are three cultures in this region that are going to be affected: Athabascans, the Yupik, and the Aleuts. They are from this region, and there's three cultures that depend on clean water and fish that we put up, a smoked salmon for the younger generations. It is something that
thank you. I need to, if you could sum up your testimony, please, I would be grateful.
Pardon me?
If you could sum up your testimony?
I would like to summarize by saying, yes, I would very much like to support House Bill 199 to be in place in the ballot form. I hope it works out for us.
Thank you. And it was a pleasure to meet you on your last trip to Juneau as well.
Oh, I'm so happy to be, I was so happy to be there. Thank you so, so much for putting that House Bill 199 together.
Thank you, and thank you for your testimony. Okay, well, I see no other testimony online. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to testify? Seeing no one, we have noticed it until 1 o'clock, so we'll take a brief at ease. But before I take that brief at ease, I really want to say thank you to my Fisheries Committee for taking time on their Saturday to come in and listen to this testimony. And, of course, I want to thank Matt Greening for all the hard work he's put into this bill and organizing all these public testimonies and making sure we have all the information in front of us. So with that, we will take a brief at ease until about 2 minutes to one, and then we will gavel out. I'm going to come back on record so I can let the committee sneak out of here a little early. I just want to let my committee know what we have in store. Our next hearing will be Monday from 6 to 8:30 for public hearing on House Bill 199. So I just want to let you know that I'll be looking forward to seeing my committee again on Monday at 6 p.m. We will recess. Okay, House Fisheries will come back on record. And We have Mackie Cassidy online. Mackie, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record. She must be on mute. Is your phone on mute, Mackie? I don't hear her. She's not muted here.
Well,
Mackie, we don't hear you. Okay. Well, okay. We'll take a brief at ease again.